2 Samuel chapter number 19. It's just going to go into chapter number 20. We keep on going through this. Sometimes some of the messages have, we just read through and look at the and kind of tell a commentary and show some application. Sometimes they have some points we want to draw out a little bit more. And tonight, I think that's what we're going to look at. I've been looking at this all week long and even up before this week, just trying to see how the Lord might lead. And I think we're going to focus in a little bit about seeing some people behaving badly. You ever seen somebody behave badly before? You ever seen somebody behave badly in church before? You ever seen the people, seems like they are arguing over frivolous things? People who are, because of envy and because of jealousy and because of pride, they make something big out of something that should have been nice and good. And that's where it says David's homecoming becomes ugly. David's homecoming becomes uglier, gets ugly. And sometimes things get ugly really fast. I remember sitting in a really nice Thanksgiving service, not here, but they used to do a little bit like we do. But on their Thanksgiving service night, they had popcorn preaching with the younger guys or the guys that weren't in a full-time ministry. And I was getting ready to preach. I was going to preach on, is there not a cause? Well, they did testimony time first. And, you know, people get up and they say nice things. And this one older guy got up there and he started talking nice for about a minute. And about a minute into the testimony, he just started complaining. He started complaining about the pastor. He started complaining about the church. And, you know, the pastor actually had to get up after a few minutes and say, hey, let's get these guys up there to preach, because of the fact that the things he was complaining about, that to me, even as a 25-year-old, 26-year-old, 27-year-old, you know, if they had a concern, they should go talk to the pastor about it. But the things he was complaining about didn't seem like it made sense to me, but it meant something to him. But there's a proper time and a proper place and a way to voice concerns. And you're going to learn a little bit tonight in this story. David's on his way home. Now, let's remember in this story, people have acted badly, haven't they? There is a group of people that went after the traitor, went after the rebel, went after Absalom, and he took out this great force. Over 20,000 people died. David, God's hand was on David. There was only a short portion, historians say probably somewhere around 4,000 people that stayed with David. So there is a huge amount of people who did not side with David, who went out, went after Absalom, and David had won the battle. His men had won the battle. If you want to speak more frankly, David's men had won. The Lord allowed that to happen. And then David had to send to Judah and say, hey, how come you haven't brought me home yet? And then as David is coming home, it's supposed to be a time of rejoicing, supposed to be a time of gladness, supposed to be a time of excitement. David even tells Shimei, hey, look, I'm not even going to put you to death today because of the fact that this, I'm king today, and I realize I'm king, there's a group of people that meet him. And then it seems like there's a group of people who got mad because they were not invited, or they did not come quick enough, and they missed part of the procession. They didn't want David to think that the tribe of Judah liked David more than them. The other 10 tribes, the portion did not make it enough time, felt like David was not going to treat them right because they didn't come quickly as everybody else did. And remember, Judah's there a little bit closer. They had a great, but David had to send to Judah. David had to hear from Israel that they wanted to bring him back. Everybody had the opportunity to go get him and bring him back and say, David, we want you to be king. But they kind of, both groups drug their feet a little bit, and they all had been behaving badly on that side, especially the 10 tribes had gone to Absalom and had gone to Absalom's side. So they're all behaving badly here. They all should be at a spot where they're humble, and they all should be at a spot where they're thankful that David's even willing to let them come back and be king. That's not what happened. So they start acting out, and they start acting up, and they get to the point where they are in a conflict with one another, to the point that there becomes a new guy that comes out and wants to become king. And they hadn't learned anything. And it's because of their behavior and how they acted. And I guess I want to spend a little bit of time tonight. We're going to read through the majority of the passage, but I want us to consider about how to behave ourselves a little bit around other people. And, you know, sometimes people get so upset and so angry about just what sometimes are considered preferences. And when that happens, there is a way to act right and be godly. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. I see a lot of angry people that think they're angry over righteous things, but they're still sinning because of the way that they do it. And so there is a proper way of reaching out with concerns. There's a proper way of not letting pride and jealousy make you behave badly. And so that's what we're going to look at a little bit tonight. I got a lot of verses here that talks about the dangers of pride, and more dangers of jealousy and dangers of envy. And also have some verses here that helps us understand about how to respond to people. And I read an article here recently about 10 ways to argue right. And they said, well, maybe arguing is the right wrong word to describe it, but 10 ways to try to have a discussion with somebody else who has a difference of opinion than you do. Because guess what? We're all going to have differences of opinions. I mean, some people from down south disagree with things that happen up north. Some people that happen on the East Coast and the West Coast. Sometimes there's just different income levels have different questions. Sometimes different people from different countries have different questions. They have a different view of looking things. But the Bible says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. And in Romans chapter 14, it's very interesting how they talk about how to behave in the house of God and how different people are going to feel different ways and how you can need to get along for the greater cause. Now, I'm not advocating sin. We never advocate sin. Sin is wrong. Sin is bad. But at the same time, there is a way to have discussions, to agree, sometimes to disagree on certain issues. Okay. Let's pick up here, 2 Samuel chapter number 19, verse 39. The Bible says, and all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned into his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal and to Chimeam, went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king and also half of the people, half the people of Israel. So you see here, they had the opportunity to get there. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king. Once again, this is a time of rejoicing. David is excited to be back there. He's on the throne. And so there's somebody who's not happy. When something good's going on, you know what? Somebody's not going to be happy. Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away? So they make an excuse. They make an accusation. They have stolen thee away, even though they had the opportunity to bring him home, and they did not. And David even had to go to Judah and say, what is taking you along? And have brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over Jordan. And all the men of Judah answered. So you see the first reaction. They make an accusation to the king. They said, king, why did you allow this to happen? So they make an accusation. Instead of listening and hearing, Judah reacts. You know, once again, we cannot be accountable for someone making an accusation towards us. We can't. I've been accused of some really goofy things before, and I can't be held accountable for the way somebody accuses me. But the way I react is what I'm accountable for and how I react. And sometimes people have come up to me and they just want to pick a fight. They say some ridiculous thing sometimes just to try to see how a person is going to react. It says, verse 42, Judah responds. And all the men of Judah answer the men of Israel, because the king is near of kin to us. That's not really the reason why. It's because they went there and got there first, and David approached him, yes, because he was of the kin, but also because of the fact that they're the people that really did not go after as much after Absalom. Wherefore, then be angry for this matter. So you can tell that they're angry because they're accusing them of being angry. And of course, when you tell somebody, don't be angry, they're, I'm not angry, while they're yelling at you. You can see that here. Wherefore, then be angry for this matter. Have we eaten of all the king's costs, at all the king's costs, or have we given us any gift? So they're showing the reason why Israel's upset. He's becoming king again. And if Judah has gone and done this for him, they're worried that King David is going to give special preference and treatment to Judah and not to the other 10 tribes. The other 10 tribes want to make sure they get it treated specially and they get the special treatment too. They don't really care about David at all. They don't really care about God's chosen man and about God's nation. They're concerned about making sure that they get what they think they deserve. Verse 43, and the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right in David than ye. So they're saying that our numbers are more important than your nearness. Our numbers, look, there's 12 tribes in Israel. There is 10 here. Now, it's kind of interesting. Where is the other tribe? Some people think it was the Levites what got involved in this because they were priestly people. The 10 tribes of Israel and the two tribes are usually Judah and Benjamin, but we're going to see here in a second there's a Benjaminite that's going to cause some problems. And in the story here, he says, we are so much bigger than Judah is, and this is just wrong. Let's keep on seeing here. So we see their response. They make their reason. Now, what is the problem here? It's because of their pride. It's because they think they're more important, but Judah thinks they're more important. They think that they're envious of what Judah might have received, and Judah is just protecting themselves because of the fact that they've done nothing wrong. And in all reality, they have done nothing wrong, but you see that they feel like they have to protect themselves and they have to respond. Is it wrong to respond to an accusation that's brought against you? Sometimes it's best to just stay quiet. Sometimes it is, there's an opportunity to be able to reasonably defend yourself the way the person has knowledge. It's already past that point here. They've each made accusations toward one another. And it says, why then, let's go back to the beginning of verse 43. It says, and the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right in David. He's a man, he's a king, than ye. Why then did ye despise us, that our advice should not be first had in bringing back our king? You should have asked me. You should have told me. You know, David's the one that asks this. David doesn't speak up here. But look what it says in verse number 43. And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. Fiercer. I guess for me, fiercer and godly doesn't seem like it equates together. Just because they were better at arguing, they were more passionate about it, that does not make it right. And so what this does, it creates an environment of day that should be rejoicing in a place that should be happiness, in a place where people should be excited about serving God and serving the king and everything. The nation has been reunified. The king is willing to come back even after we have betrayed him and anointed another king. He's still willing to come and be king. It opens up an environment where there is much anger, much frustration, fierce words. A place where it did not belong at all. Fiercer words than the other one, and there is competition and debating, and what it does, it leaves open an opportunity for someone to step in and cause a really big problem. Let's look what it says in verse number 1. And there happened to be there, there always happens to be there, a man of Belial. Now we know that man of Belial, that reference to that man of Belial is usually when it mentions in the Bible, it's speaking about a person who's worthless, a person who has really no account, does not have good character, does not really have any credentials, more than just being a belligerent person. And that when he uses, they mean that they're up to no good. One commentator said they're deadbeats. They really aren't interested in what's best. They're interested in just stirring up trouble. And I've met people like that before, just interested in stirring up trouble. People who don't come to church at all, and people who come maybe sparingly, but want to stir up trouble when they see something, and they just like to stir the pot. And the Bible is referring to them as men of Belial in my mind. People, and I know that they might be worth in the fact that they take care of their home and their family, but in certain areas, this man, Sheba, it says, and there happened to be there a man, Belial. And the reason why we need to make sure that we're acting the way we should and we're acting like Christ and we're acting like Christians, because there are going to be people out there that are going to jump in, and when they jump in, they're going to try to cause problems. And it says, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjaminite. Now remember, a Benjaminite, remember Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was the king. David took over there. And then even that guy Shimei thought, you know, because he was from that tribe. And that tribe probably always felt like David did not deserve to be on that throne. And he says, and he blew a trumpet. Now, the blowing of a trumpet means lots of different things. It's a call to battle. It's a call of a new king. Many commentators think that he's trying to cause the nation, the 10 tribes, to go away from David, that he's from Judah. They have no part in him, to follow after him. And it says, and he blew a trumpet and said, "We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in this son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." Now, and it says, verse number 2, "So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri, but the men of Judah clave unto the king from Jordan even to Jerusalem." Now, this shows you how fickle people can be. I mean, they're all out there and they're saying, "We're upset because you didn't let us honor the king. We're upset because you didn't let us be a part in the procession. We didn't get to kiss the king's hand. We didn't get to kiss up to the king. So that way he's going to think that we love him." So they get one guy here who is a men of Belial, who, you know, a men of Belial usually has that reputation too. A person who is someone who is does not have good character, a person who does not have very much worth in the community. But this man blows a trumpet and says, "This is ridiculous. We have nothing to do with this man. Let's go back to our tents." And they all listen. You say, "Pastors, there's no way that a church can be broken up just because the men of Belial go start inserting their opinion, or because people start acting badly." You see it happening right here, and I've seen it happen in churches before. I remember our church back home, there was a church break, and they had a church split, and one pastor took that, and it was all over things that people were stirring up issues and problems that needed not to be stirred up in problems. And you got this men of Belial here who is trying to do nothing but cause harm and trouble. And he says, "We need to go back to our tents." So the people who were there and they were worshiping, "Oh, look, David's back. Oh, we should have had a chance to be able part of the ceremony." And they got upset they weren't part of the ceremony. And they just start talking about things that needed not to be talked about. And because of jealousy, they respond in jealousy. And because of that, people begin to act badly. That happens all throughout the Bible. And I want you to tell you that jealousy is a bad thing, and envy is a bad thing, and pride is a bad thing, because it causes us to get and act the way that we should not act, and it causes us, instead of having a righteous anger and a righteous indignation, it causes us to deal in the flesh and respond in the flesh and act in a way that's going to cause someone else harm and not cause to fix the issue. Think about some of these stories about people that dealt with the jealousy issue. The Bible says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And the Bible also says, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. Think about Joseph's brothers. On Sunday morning, give you a little hint. We're going to preach about Joseph. We're going to look at that thing. "Hey, Joseph, how did you get to sit on the throne of Egypt?" You know, I'm looking forward to preaching about that, because we're talking about, what are you doing here? And sometimes the world can look up there and say, "Man, how in the world did you get to be so blessed?" And we're going to look at that, how Joseph, you know, you're sitting up on the throne of Egypt. But Joseph's brothers, they saw their father loved him more than all his brethren. Now listen to this. They hated him. Now, did the father do wrong? The father did wrong by showing favoritism in Joseph. How did they respond? "Dad, you know, we feel like you're talking." No. "Honor your father." No. They hated him and they could not speak peacefully unto him. If you can't speak peacefully unto somebody, there's something wrong inside your own heart. There's something that we need to work on. Yes, that person might be the greater sinner. That person might have the wrongness to them. But you saw how Jesus responded to people and how Jesus dealt with people. If there's some type of anger inside you and some type of frustration inside of you that helps you, makes you hate someone, there's a problem there. Think about in Judges chapter 8, after Gideon had that great war and that great battle, and the men of Ephraim said unto him, "Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites?" And they did chide with him sharply. Now remember the story. We looked at Judges. Gideon went out with the 300 men, and they went out and they destroyed, and God allowed them to go and take all those. And they were coming back and they were tired. He even called the people. They were faint yet pursuing. And God allowed these guys from Ephraim to come and be able to destroy the two princes. And they come to Gideon and said, "Why didn't you call us?" Now, these these people they were fighting against had been problems for years. Gideon did blow the trumpet. Gideon did encourage everyone to come to fight the battle, but they didn't show up. They stayed over in their own land and stayed over their own territory. And Gideon, after coming back and delivering and God using him to deliver, it should be a time of rejoicing. It should be a time of praise. And they come back and they're all excited and they got somebody that's running their mouth. Why in the world did you? And then Gideon, you look back at how he responds. He says something like, you know, look, God delivered you, the two princes inside you. He kind of fed their ego, and they were, okay. It's important that we learn that not to make things ugly. 1 Samuel 18:8, Saul was very wroth. The saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000. To me they have ascribed but thousands. What have we? He have more to the kingdom. He became jealous, and because of his jealousy, just like Ephraim with Gideon, God used him, and God used David. He wasn't interested in going and fighting Goliath. He wasn't looking at it. It was pride. He says, how can they speak about this young man instead of speaking about me? And what does it call Saul to do? What does the enviousness call Saul to do? He spends the opportunity he has to be one of the great kings of Israel. He spends his years chasing after David. The Ephraimites, what do they do? They cause problems for the guy that God was trying to use. You think about it, in Matthew 20, 12, those guys that got hired to work 1 hour, they were jealous of the guys that got hired to work 1 hour instead of working there all day. He says, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Jesus is teaching a parable to them. You know, it's God's right to give to who he wants to and who he doesn't want to. But they become jealous and they become angry. We think about the prodigal son. The father treats the prodigal son right, but who gets jealous and angry? The other brother outside gets so jealous and so angry that it's a time of rejoicing. It's a time where the brother has come home. The brother has gotten right. And praise the Lord, everybody's excited. The whole town's there excited. But the older brother, what is he doing? He's sitting out there because he is jealous and he is envious of what the father is doing and he has this pride, but it was the father's right to do whatever he wanted to for his son. But there's people that are behaving badly, and what happens when they behave badly? It takes a time that should be rejoicing, a time that should be encouraging, a time that people should be growing. And what happens? It leaves men open for this guy like Sheba or Sheba, however you say his name. I want to encourage you tonight, learn how to behave in the house of God. It is a place where rejoicing is supposed to happen. It is a place where people are supposed to get help and people are supposed to get right, and where people, and I go back and I remember some of the sitting there as a 27-year-old, 28, God's working on my heart. I'm in Bible college and I am, doing things, 25, 26, God's finally working on my heart. I finally go back to Bible college and I'm sitting there, I'm listening to business meetings, and I'm seeing grown men that I loved and respected acting badly. And it stirred an opportunity for the wrong people to do things. And I'm not saying things didn't need to change, and that's not for me to say or do, but I know the Bible says, be angry and sin not. The Bible says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. For brethren, you have been called unto your liberty. Only use not that liberty for the occasion of flesh, but by love serve one another. There is a way and a proper way to deal with problems and deal with issues, and they did not do it this way. So let's keep on reading the story, and we're going to come back to this at the end. This is the main crux of the message, but I want to get through some of these verses and show you what happens here, and so we can be moving on in the following weeks. It says, verse number 3, and David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines. Remember the 10 concubines that Absalom had committed and forced himself upon, and, you know, what's going to happen to those 10 women? So whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in ward and fed them, but went not in unto them. So they were shut up into the house to the day of their death, living in widowhood. So no one ever, that was it. And you read through this story, you say, hasn't David been through enough? But you go back to David's sin and what God had said about David's sin. David's sin was one that the sword was not going to depart from his house. He was going to continually be dealing with problems and issues, dealing with men of Belial, dealing with people like Absalom, because it is a punishment for his sin. Let's keep on going. In verse number 4, then said the king to Amasa, remember Amasa got the opportunity to be the general without the right. David made a wrong choice there. We showed you that. We explained that last week. Assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days and be thou here present. So he gives Amasa, he says, I want you to go get the men of Judah ready. We're going to go to battle. We're going to go get this guy, Sheba. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. So he does not follow through with the requirements of the king. So David turns to Abishai, and David said to Abishai, now shall Sheba the son of Bichri do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou thy Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him in fenced cities and escape us. He says, let's go get this guy. Abishai, I can count on you. Amasa did not do the job. And there went out after him Joab's men, and the Sherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men. So there's groups of special forces. And they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba the son of Bichri. When they were at the great stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa shows up, went before them. He was planning on going and leading the battle because he had already been given the commission. And Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him. So there was a general garment that was there. Joab was the general before David demoted him, maybe because of killing Abner, maybe because of killing Absalom. We're not really sure. But he's wearing the general's garment. And upon it was a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins and the sheath thereof. And he went forth and it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, art thou in health, my brother? So he goes and gives him a greeting, showing him that he is a friend. Remember, Amasa and Joab are cousins. By the beard with the right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand, so he smote him therewith in the fifth rib, shed out his bowels to the ground, and struck him not again, and he died. So he kills Amasa. Joab had done this earlier to Abner when David tried to replace him. It doesn't matter. Joab defies the king, does what he wants to. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. Be careful of people that try to pretend to be your friend, but are interested in stabbing you in the back. That's what Joab does here. He mocks him. He doesn't challenge Amasa to a fight. He doesn't say, I want my position back. Instead, he goes under the guise of friendship and under the guise of family. And once again, he kills who David appointed to be general. And it says, one of Joab's men stood by him and said, he that favor of Joab and he that is for David, let him go after Joab. So there's people there that are looking at what just happened, did not know what happened. So Joab's man says, if you favor David, come with us. We're going to go get Sheba. And Amasa wallowed in the blood in the midst of the highway. And when the men saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa. So they were standing still looking at it. They throw Amasa's body into a field and covered it up out of the highway into the field and cast the cloth upon him. And when he saw that everyone that came by him stood still, when he removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue Sheba the son of Bichri. And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel and to Beth-Miscah and all the Berites, and they were gathered together and went also after him. So there's a great army that's coming, and they came to besiege him in Abel, because that's where Sheba was, of Beth-Miscah, and they cast a bank against the city, which means that they surrounded the city. They're getting ready to take the city apart, and it stood in the trench, and all the people that were with Joab battered the wall. They're beginning ready to tear down the wall. Then cried a wise woman. That's a precious thing, a wise woman. And it says, then cried a wise woman. She doesn't understand what's going on here, but she wants to try to help save her city. Then cries a wise woman out of the city, hear, say, I pray you unto Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee. And so she wants to speak to the leader. And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, art thou Joab? She wants to make sure she's talking to the boss. And he answered, I am he. Then she said unto him, hear the words of thine handmaid. It's humble when she says this. And he answered, I do hear. Then she spake, saying, there were wont to speak in old time, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. So they're saying that it's known for being a place of wisdom. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. She's making a case saying that, why are you going to destroy this city when I've done nothing wrong? I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city, a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. Now, you see here a response. Now, if you were living in the city, Abel, what would you have done? There is an army there that's around you. More than likely, most of us would have went and got our swords and said, we're not going to let them destroy the city. Even though they were our same people that was from the 10 tribes. But you see how they respond. They're discussing this. They're coming to a conclusion. Look what it says in verse 21. The matter is not so, but a man of Mount of Ephraim, not even one of yours, Sheba, the son of Bichri, by name, have lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. She says, we're going to go back in, we're going to cut his head off, and then we're going to throw it over the wall. They are coming to a peaceable agreement. Then the woman went in unto the people in her wisdom. She is dealing wisely. Sheba was dealing like a man of Belial. She is dealing as a wise woman. And they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and they cast it out to Joab. And he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent, and Joab returned to Jerusalem and unto the king. So they saved the city. They saved probably a great onslaught because Sheba was probably there, and he probably had some men that were there with him, and they were getting ready to fight. But if they were willing to give up Sheba, they could save their city. There is some wisdom there in how they deal with them. Now, you go back in chapter number 19, there's not much wisdom in verses 40 through 43. It's all about pride. It's all about arrogance. It's all about envy. It's all about jealousy. And that type of atmosphere, you're going to begin to listen to men of Belial. And that type of atmosphere of me wanting my rights and me wanting my rights and confusion happening, what's going to happen here is that there's going to be a man of Belial. Just like it says in verse number 1, it says, there happened to be there a man of Belial. The devil's always going to have somebody there that's going to stir up the pot and is going to try to cause issues and problems and a place where there should be a safety and a place where there should be joy and rejoicing and praising the Lord. There is going to be someone who's going to try to start a fight. And there's going to be someone there that is going to listen to them. Over the years, I've had, and like I said, I can go back and as I was studying and remembering some of the fresh things that as our church back at Baptist Bible went through this church split. And then a few years later, after that, the pastor had done something wrong and he had to resign from that. And the men of Belial that were there, the men who didn't even show up. I remember the night when they were trying to vote whether or not the pastor should stay the pastor or not. And that he wanted a vote of confidence. And usually we ran about 200, 250 on a Sunday night. That night we had at least have 500 people there. You want to know why? Because they wanted to give their opinion. They hadn't even been to church. They hadn't been a participant in the ministries. They hadn't been this and that. But they wanted to be a part of the group that was going to stir up the problem and try to either run the preacher out of town or they loved the preacher so much they wanted to vote for the preacher even though they hadn't been to church in years. And you say, Pastor, do people act that way? They do act that way. You need to be careful who you're listening to. You need to be careful when someone is voicing a concern that it should be done in a rightful manner. They should be bearing fruits of the Spirit because the flesh and the Spirit, they fight against one another. And if there is a problem, we should stand strong, we stand for right, but there's a way that it should be done, and it wasn't done in verses 40 through 43. But you come to chapter number 20, you see this woman who's trying to stand and do what's right, and she does it peacefully. The Bible says, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You don't see that in verses 40 through 43. And he says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed with one another. And that's the bickering and the fighting. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh, now listen, lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. That means that they're contrary. They're not working together so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, and listen to this, are manifest, which are these, adultery, which has nothing to do with the arguing and fighting, but it shows you how far the flesh can go. But listen to some of these other: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. And this is important to get and understand, that the wrath, the anger, the hatred, it does not come from God. It does not come from God. So when someone is voicing a concern, they should be able to do it in the right spirit if they're being led by the Spirit of God to do it. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They're acting as the flesh. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. David responds this way to Shimei. David responds this way to Ziba. David's people did not respond this way. Now, why didn't David step in here? We don't know. Why didn't David kind of lead toward Judah, and that's the reason why the 10 tribes were about? We don't know. But we do know that there became a fight. We do know that there's accusations made towards one another. We do know that there was fiercer words than others. That makes me think they got an arguing match and they started yelling and screaming, and the people of Judah were better at it. Just because you're better at arguing does not make you a better person. It makes you just as ungodly as the other person you're arguing with if you're not bearing the fruits of the Spirit. But then you see this lady who's walking in wisdom that comes out and tries to fix the problem. And once again, I'm not saying that she did what was right or perfect, but you can see how things were dealt with. And she presents it, and there's talking that's done. But when it reads those verses, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed with one another," I see people that bit and they devour one another, that don't care about the ministry, that don't care about the church. They care about the pride and the arrogance and the jealousy and the envy, and it calls. And I know we don't have those problems here, and I'm thankful for that. I really am. And I pray, and I've had people come to me and discuss things with me, and it should be done the right. Sometimes it's done the right way, sometimes it's not. And it's amazing. Some of the times the people that have given me the hardest time is the people who don't come to church hardly at all. And they'll call me up and they'll fuss me out, and they'll call me up sometimes and curse me out. And you know, but they're not faithful members of our church, but they're not even members of our church. And they want to be that man of Belial. And then I have a church member that comes up to me and says, "You know, I was talking to so-and-so," and I look at him and said, "I'm not going to speak bad about anybody, but just be careful that you consider the source." And it's, do you want to be like that person? No, then you need to be careful who you're listening to. You know, they're not faithful. They don't. And I'm not running anybody down, but I ask people that, is that a person that you think that you could be like spiritually? They're like, probably not. You should be careful how you listen to them. If they're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, be careful that you separate the two. Are we condemning somebody? We're not condemning. That's a person that needs to be prayed for. That's a person that needs to be fasted for. That's a person that God loves and God wants to help, but we don't have to listen to them try to stir the pot. These people that said, "Sheba, blow that trumpet," they should have said, "We already listened to Absalom once. We ain't going to listen to you too, because Absalom killed 20,000 of our brothers and sisters." And Sheba could care less about the nation. I'm thankful they cut his head out and threw it over the wall, because he was going to be a hardship for that nation. So when you look at it, David's homecoming, a place of rejoicing and praising, a place where it should have been exciting to be a part of. Church sometimes gets to a spot where there is anger and bitterness. I don't know how many times I've seen people it just drives you crazy, because that responds to someone else. And that responds to someone else, and that responds to someone else. And it takes the place of worship and praise and kindness and generosity out of all of it. And it's not the way God's house is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a spot here where we learn to worship and praise. Now, at my church back home, things began to change at my church back home underneath the new pastor. I'm thankful God took me out of that. I went to more than one occasion talking to my pastor about things that were going on at the church. He actually, I think, was going to offer me a job. He even sat there, we went there, and we were talking back and forth. He says, "I like you." I says, "I appreciate that." And we sat down, and he says, after we talked for a couple hours, he says, "You know, I was going to ask you if you wanted to be maybe on staff here and be part of the children's ministry and be in charge of the children's ministry. You learned here and you've grown here. But after talking for you for 2 hours, he says, you're different than I am. I says, I think so too. And he says, not a lot different, but we were a little bit different. He was going one direction. I was going another direction. He was the pastor. He was called there. The people called him there. And I said to him, he says, I'm going to help you find a church. And he put me in contact with Dr. Bish, and Dr. Bish came here. But now I look at that church back home, and it is a community-style church, and it has their band on the stage, and it does things differently than we would have ever done. And I couldn't have stayed there. But I, you know, after I sat down, I asked him questions and things like that. We came in a conversation, and I knew that if not, I wouldn't have been. I didn't know how far it was going to go. And I'm not running it down. I'm not. But I'm just saying there's ways to handle things and deal with things, and there's proper ways, even inside our own homes, even with our own families. And I'm not going to go through too many of these things, but I, as I told you, there's 10 ways to, 10 rules in arguing. First one, be patient. You know, sometimes people say count to 10. Most people don't know this, but that came from Thomas Jefferson. He used to say count to 100. He says, I have created a world of hurt for myself by spouting off in this first 100 seconds. Listen. Many times a person's only listening to wait till they get the chance to say something. When that person they're arguing with, they wait till that person's quiet, not because they've been listening, just because they want to get their point across. Many arguments could be confounded by just simply listening to one another. Define terms. Different people have different things and different meanings for different words. The word liberal means so much to so many different people. To me, a liberal church would be someone that is going contemporary in the fact that they're listening. I think they're doing fleshly things and ungodly things. Other people would look at liberal as being someone who denies the virginity of Mary. To me, that's apostate. But, you know, you got to understand, don't call people names. You know, that really doesn't help anything. Labeling, stereotyping people, putting everybody in the same group does not fix the problem. Put things in perspective. Ask questions. You know, you believe this, you think that's from the Bible, show me in the Bible why you believe this. Here are the positions of people, understand the reason, stay on topic. I remember sometimes people approach me about one thing, but they want to bring up three or four other things. So let's deal with this one thing. Let's help understanding, you understand me understand you on this one thing. Then we can talk about the other ones. Don't assign motive. It's God's job to see what's in our heart. And I've had people say, that person did this for this. I said, why do you say that? They told you that? No, but I can tell. I see it in their heart. I see it in their heart. There's only one person that can do that. So be careful that you assign. Now, does a person's actions sometimes lean? Does the Lord give us discernment? Yes. But if you're not producing these other fruits of the Spirit, you should be very quick, careful not to quick to judge other people. It's important to understand there's a way to behave when there's a disagreement. And this verse, we saw one person that did not know how to behave, and over here this woman who walked in wisdom, and I'm thankful for women that walk in wisdom, that knew how to diffuse the situation. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.